The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. So in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Redding, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors in the North State who make this possible. Today is Sunday, November the 23rd. Almost got that wrong.
Yeah, you did. That's why I was helping you out there.
Anyway, we have a great lineup of guests today. They've been on the show with my sister and Red at the Jefferson State of Mind. We've had Starman here, Kurt Starman, Gary Cadd. We've got Patrick Jones coming in, and we have
John Wilson.
John Wilson, who I'm not sure I don't have any background on, except that he ran against Modi. And so this is going to be an interesting morning. Let's see, I'm here in the
studio. A little more.
I'm in the studio here with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
And he's doing great because he doesn't have a mic because we have so many people in the studio. He just gives me hand signals and I talk for him.
Morning!
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me at Facebook, on Facebook at Sovereign Minds, because my personal Facebook is completely full. And the Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview. That's Destiny Fellowship. They stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and following the Constitution. Imagine that. What a bunch of radicals. So
tinfoil hat people.
Tinfoil hat radicals. Yeah,
that's they, a they honor for you.
Respect the law. Wow, what a concept.
be careful where we go there.
I'm all for lawlessness.
Okay.
Maybe I should be running for Congress, huh? White House.
Yeah, why not? Well, you could do city council, board of supervisors. Just work your way up.
It's like, what's his name? Dan said, you know, the higher up you get, the dumber you are. So I don't know. I guess that's how it works.
Yeah, that's right.
Jefferson State of Mind is every Sunday now, and it used to be on Saturday at 8 a.m. Now it's on.
It is on Saturday until the 1st.
Oh.
And then
that's
Robert.
Not too far away.
Yeah. We will do one more week next week, me and Robert, and then it'll be Robert and Kayla.
Very good. So let's see. There's also, we want to encourage you, we've got the Shasta Lantern just about up and running on the new website. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be competing with the record searchlight. And so we want to encourage everybody to go to that. That's the www.shastalantern.com. The quote of the day, a true leader is one who serves the most, not who is most served.
And do we know who said that?
I did. That's me.
Yeah.
I made up a quote.
It was okay.
I had, you thought it was great because you knew it was me.
And I then, just thrown it out there, folks. I'm just
she's
saying.
Your
that's
sister.
What,
I know.
That's right.
That's why I used to have to slug her when we were kids, you know, because that's what happens, you know, when you mess with the.
Yeah, but I don't have a bald spot in the back of my head.
Yeah, she just slaps the old bald spot. That's like the old Benny Hill. So anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, well,
moving
move
right along.
But
I'm bump, bump. Any current veterans events before we get
we
to
do,
Gary?
We do, but I did don't have the list. So let's
never
see
mind.
If I can do it off the top of
see,
my head.
Never
yes, we
mind.
Do. We have Reese Across America out at the Igo Cemetery on December 13th. That's where we play Reese on all the grave sites out there. There's about 6,000 veterans buried out there.
That's Reese.
That's what I said.
Across
Reese.
America.
You
Reese.
Do that to me every time. Whatever. Just remember, when you get tongue-tied again, we're not going to bail you out.
It'll never happen.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Hey, make sure you
we have Christmas for the troops.
Make sure you cue up the organ music today, Bob.
Oh, yes. We got to have our organ music.
Got to have the organ music. You know
okay.
what I'm talking about. So with that.
Christmas for the troops is December 14th from 3 to 7 p.m. Tickets are $15. That's where we package the boxes to go across to the men and women that are deployed. That will happen at 2290 Benton Drive. That's at the Senior Citizen Hall. On December 20th, we have the Servicemen's Feast that we hold at the Veterans Hall at 1605 Yuba Street. That's from 3 to 7 p.m. And that is a free event for all veterans, EMTs, firemen, and first responders and their families. So come join us. We put on a whole dinner of turkey, mashed potatoes, the whole works. So
all right, very
I
good.
Believe that's about all I have right now.
Very good. Oh, so there's money being passed out.
Money is always good. I'm always
buying tickets.
Buying tickets. We gotta love it. Thank you.
Okay. So are we ready, Bob? We're ready. Okay. So now we're going to do some investigative reporting.
Is that me?
Yeah. Gary Cat, you're up.
I have mentioned this several times. I'm probably going to mention it several times more. But the document that Mr. DuVernay gave me last Friday, basically what he's saying in this document, that it's Patrick Jones and Gary Cadd, amongst others, fault.
It's Bush, too.
That this didn't come out, that this did not come out. It DuVernay faults opponents, which were Patrick and I, and all other opponents, and the media for not digging up the Turtle Bay. This totally offends me.
This is
because
this is,
Patrick and I tried our darndest to get a copy of the appraisals back when and told they weren't available. And then later on, we wound up being privy to some emails that were from a city employee that had a comparison of all three of them. And it was dated on December the 12th of 2013. And the city voted on it, I think, at the end of March in 14. And Patrick and I had been asking from around Christmas time all the way through voting on the issue if we could look at them. And we were never given them. The city had them. And we didn't know it until some other individuals had a Freedom of Information Act and started pulling emails in. And this is where we wound up finding out what was going on. I mean, this is ridiculous, some of the things that have happened.
This sounds just like the Obama campaign when they said to Bush, we didn't say this was your fault. We just said we're going to blame you.
Well, and the thing with it is I get tired of people saying, well, Gary Cadd doesn't know what he's talking about. When actually Gary has actually done his homework, but it's just that people don't want to bring forward what's going on. It bothers me.
You mean that they're to do their job, to actually bring forth what the people should know out there in the community?
When a person that's a city councilman and asks a question, the question should be answered correctly.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, it's a typical tactic.
Ha ha! There we go.
It's a typical tactic, it seems like, of your political opponents, that anytime they do something wrong, it's the other guy's fault. How do you do that? I mean, that's like when you're kids. You know, like we had one guy talking about spilling his, you know, grape juice on the couch. And, you know, when did you spill the grape juice on the couch? And he's like, no, I never saw it. I don't know whose it is.
Not my fault. It was somebody else.
Well, Mark, the important issue here is that we had this issue. It was resolved by the EDA in April of 2014. In fact, April 24th, as our emails and our understanding of that. And it was clear there that at that time, the EDA said the clawback clause is in effect, and they set the clawback amount at 74%. Now, earlier on this station, our city manager, Kurt Starman, he would not answer that question.
Interesting.
About this clawback. And it's a fact that the EDA says that you're selling this property for some other purpose than a museum. And in fact, it's being sold for the construction, to make way for the construction of a hotel. That would help Turtle Bay, but it is not a function of the museum. This, our city attorney, just simply tries to reiterate that that's not the case. EDA says differently. Our city manager and our city team, if you will argue that point. The fact of the matter is they knew about it. They knew about it before this went to the voters, and this is the key thing here, in that you withheld, they knowingly and willfully withheld very important information to the public on a ballot initiative, in fact, a ballot referendum, and that could be voter fraud.
I have a question, because before you go on the same issue, you know, I was thinking about this. What does it mean it's in effect? Does that mean that they can exercise it now going forward any time? Does it mean that they have to actually sell the property in order to exercise it?
Yeah, we have a contract right now. Council, on a 3-2 vote, sold the 14-plus acres to McConnell Foundation. That, in a sense, as...
So the sale's already happened.
The sale has already been certified by city council.
No, it's not in escrow.
It's not in escrow yet.
But what does that mean if it's not... So I guess you have to read that contract then and figure out what that contract is on the clawback provision if the city's already subject to that contract, okay, then they can actually bring their appraisers in at any time, is that...
That is correct. In fact, as I get my notes up here, it says here that the EDA's determination of fair market value will be appraised value of the EDA project land to be sold. This appraisal must be conducted by an independent, nationally recognized appraiser, such as an MAI-accredited appraiser. This was done, and then this letter again was April 24th, and it says that the project in question... that the clawback is in effect. And so we knew of this, city staff knew of this. Apparently, the mayor, Mayor Bozzetti, knew of this, and Councilmember MacArthur, we're not sure if anyone else, Councilmember Cadd, and myself, Councilmember Jones, we were not told of this information, nor were the voters. Now, Mr. DuVernay simply says that this was a minor issue, but yet we've got documents here of about 18 pages where they go back and forth talking about this EDA. In fact, it was the last major, not minor, but the last major unresolved issue of this entire transaction. And they go back and forth, and the city attorney's arguing with the EDA attorney, and we have these emails, and he's arguing that our city attorney's arguing that he doesn't like the 74% clawback, but the EDA attorney is saying it's in effect.
Well, that's just Mr. DuVernay's opinion. But the thing with it is, if you go back to the last meeting when Mr. Bozzetti started pounding the gavel and interrupting when I had the floor to be able to continue speaking, what he was saying, if people can't hear it, was no change, no change, no change. What he was meaning was that there's no change for the use of the property, when very clearly EDA and all of us know that the property that used to be, if this is sold, that used to be part of Turtle Bay, will be changed from a museum to a hotel to whatever for-profit. So there is a change, and the clawback is in effect, and the city has not been able to Mr. DuVernay has not prevailed on EDA to change the clawback regulations.
Well, last time I checked, I don't like this as a legal argument, number one. Number two, you know, what effect does this have on the taxpayers at this point? And who, you know, okay, so we got the clawback. We understand that the intent of the law is probably big here when you have a contract. So what happens if this all transpires as we go along here and this sale goes through and so forth? How does the taxpayer, you know, they're going to be the losers here, right? What is the effect?
I'm looking at the purchase sales agreement here, 8.3. Buyer hereby disapproves of all monetary encumbrances, purchase options, and restrictions in alteration. No other disapproval notice is required in respect to monetary encumbrances, purchase options, and restrictions, which means to me as a layperson that McConnell has exempted themselves from no monetary encumbrances.
Except for the prevailing wage
and
indemnification.
Earlier,
right,
in the contract, I'm quoting from the purchase sales agreement, buyer has elected to pay the seller $300,000, the fair market value, the property in light of potential claims that any future construction on the property will be subject to prevailing wage. So they're only exempting themselves from paying for the prevailing wage, not the EDA loan, not anything else.
All right. We have to go to a break and thank our sponsors, and then when we get back, we will continue this conversation because there's a lot of questions and comments I can see on the people's faces that want to get in here. So if you have a comment or question, call in at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
What's more important than family? At Karen Aventino Family Dentistry, quality dental work is our passion. We want your family to look and feel their best. A warm and friendly face, a welcoming atmosphere, and modern dental technology are what you'll notice at Karen Aventino Family Dentistry. We're located on Hartnell Avenue, next to Holiday Market. Call us at 222-6939. That's 222-6939. Karen Aventino Family Dentistry.
Did you know Turtle Bay offers free admission to active duty military families? Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Liberty on the Border, is a perfect opportunity to enjoy this perk. Starting October 11th, you can learn why the Civil War came about and the impact it still has on society today. Liberty on the Border is presented by Senator Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, supported by Best Western Plus Hilltop Inn, C.R. Gibbs American Grill, and KCNR 1460 AM Free Fire Media. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Hey folks, you know where your swap and sell is? It's right here every Saturday morning with Ernie and Dave at 7 to 8 on KCNR.
Moving sales, estate sales, we just talk about everything. Swap and sell with Ernie and Dave is what you need to get your Saturday off to a great start. Entertainment for the whole family.
Almost.
Swap and sell every Saturday, 7 to 8.
Right here on KCNR.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have four full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wines at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wines can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
This is Carl and the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we're going to talk immigration. What are the Republicans going to do about the executive order that President Obama has issued? Also, your last line of defense when it comes to pills in the pharmacy. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah, we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. That's a Space Oddity with David Bowie there, if you didn't recognize it. And feels like we're kind of floating into another world here sometimes, doesn't it?
Sometimes.
One thing that I'd like to mention, Mr. Starman and I had a conversation, I believe it was Thursday morning, and during that conversation I asked him that I would like to put on the December 2nd, I believe it is, agenda to bring back 13A and especially the EDA portion in open session. I do not want it in closed session. I want it in open session so that the council can ask questions and the public can stand up and ask questions of what's going on with this issue. And I was told that if they can accommodate me, they will.
And the statement was made by Mr. Starman and Mr. DuVernay that anytime a councilman wants anything on the agenda, they just need to ask and it'll be placed on the agenda.
Oh, that's nice. Very, very, very accommodating.
Well, and of course, I asked for this topic to be placed. In fact, me and Councilmember Cadd asked for a special meeting, and Mayor Bozzetti refused that special meeting. Councilmember Sullivan refused that special meeting, and Missy MacArthur was out of town, so no special meeting prior to the election. Then, therefore, I told our city manager I'd like this on for November 4th, election night, and that package would come out the Thursday before and it could be discussed. And then at least people would have an idea of what was on the agenda before election night. And mysteriously, now I'm being told that the mayor removed my item from the agenda. He has no authority to do so. So on the last council meeting, I asked if my colleagues would like to discuss the policies regarding who can put an item on the agenda and who can remove it. And, of course, it failed 3-2. Councilmember Jones and myself said we should discuss that.
I see. I remember that.
Yeah, so there's Councilmember Cadd.
You are Jones.
I am Jones.
You are Jones.
You know, hanging around these attorneys, I'm getting a little confused as to who's who here.
They keep talking about everything in the third party. It seems like there's a lot of inside baseball going on here, doesn't it?
Well, the fact of the matter is they didn't want to talk about this topic before the election. Then when we talk about it afterwards, we find out an important detail has been withheld from council members and the public. And this was important enough. In fact, I'm going to read you here's a couple. We have lots of emails. This goes back to April 1st. And this is from Rick DuVernay to Greg Clark and Sue Thompson. And he says, and this is, again, DuVernay saying, wow, I don't get their math. Using my math, if in fact $50 million has been invested in the project, then $1.6 million of the $50 million is 3.2%, not 74%. 3.2% of the agreed fair market value for what we are selling is under $10,000. Wow. And this goes on and on and on. And so they're arguing with the EDA about the clawback and the 74%, and they're trying to justify something. The fact of the matter is this went on from March, April, and Sue Thompson had worked on this thing since probably January.
That doesn't sound like an unimportant thing to me.
Well, when you see the number of emails, and clearly out of this 20, 30-page document that we have, the majority of the emails are all going back and forth with the EDA attorney and our attorney and others discussing this topic. And it was unresolved, and yet when the ballot initiative and the impartial analysis came forward by our city attorney, Rick DuVernay, this was omitted, and the voters did not have a clear understanding of what was going to happen.
So Rick DuVernay is the responsible party for not getting this to out to the voters
it's greater than that. And the reason why is because Rick DuVernay does not act alone. And this is an important fact as we move forward. As this investigation unfolds, we will find that the entire staff works as a team, and they use the team approach. Now, the city manager is your top executive officer, so he comes number one, and then the city attorney, and then all department heads. And as we uncover more emails, we'll uncover who exactly knew what and when. And it's clear from the emails that we already have that our city staff withheld vital information from council members and from the public.
Kind of sounds like the city staff and the team approach is kind of like they're on the other team a little bit. I thought that the people who were the bosses were city council, and they were supposed to be the ones. I mean, if this is a team thing, how come they're not on the team?
Well, another thing,
maybe some of them are on the team.
Thing you have to keep in. Mr. Jones just said that who knew what when. But the real people that are perpetrators of what's going on here, according to Mr. DuVernay, is Mr. Jones and myself, and the opponents of this issue should have dug into it when we didn't even know that it existed.
It's kind of funny that the only ones that didn't get informed were the people that were against it. Go ahead, Jim.
And I have
John,
a thing about
John,
blame.
Sorry.
Blame.
Well, John Wilson.
Blame about us not digging this information up. In May, I requested public information about any correspondence about Turtle Bay from Turtle Bay, from city staff, and any other correspondence that may relate to this issue. That was in May.
So this was
omitted? This April 24th letter was not included in the information that I had requested.
Wow.
You know, well, but the mayor said that he felt that it
wasn't important.
Yeah, from the negotiating team side, that they didn't feel that it was important at
all. I requested all. Not whether it was he decided it was important or not. Wanted it all.
Now, maybe we have more than one king in the country. But
here's another interesting fact. This is a memo really on November 21st, and this was in response to Councilmember Cadd, and this is from Rick Duvernay. And it says, it has been suggested by some, and this, again, is our city attorney, Rick Duvernay, it has been suggested by some that this issue should have been made public by the city attorney in the city attorney's impartial analysis. The city attorney's impartial analysis represents the independent opinion of the city attorney regarding material issues worthy of informing the public about. My opinion, then, is the same as now. And the EDA grant is not a material issue that will affect the City of Reading's basic bargaining negotiations in the purchase and sale agreement. It would have made no sense for me to describe to the citizens in an analysis of the EDA's preliminary position on the clawback language why we think they were wrong and what other valuable avenues were available to make this a non-issue. Under the word limitations associated with the impartial analysis, it never crossed my mind that the voters would be best served by disclosing and explaining what I have believed to be a non-issue.
Well, there's a potential big liability here. Let's talk about that. Isn't there potential a monetary issue here as far as if the EDA comes in and reappraises the property? And you know, we've heard appraisal values as high as $7 million, and 74% of $7 million is quite a bit of money. And, you know, I'm not sure what the real value is.
Well, Mark, it's all slightly irrelevant because when you look back at the documents, clearly they spent more time on this EDA issue than all the others put together, it appears. So it was a relevant issue. This is November 21st after the fact, and they're trying to calm the public's fears that this was withheld from the public is all that's happening.
So, you know, let's think. Talk about that for a second. Why would they do this? I mean, what's the mindset? I mean, these guys aren't dumb, you know, so what would be the purpose of withholding it, that they figure that it was a done deal, that it didn't matter? I mean, that's what they're saying. But, I mean, why would they present this to you after the election was over? Why wouldn't they just keep hiding it?
Another fact to hold information from the electorate to make an informed decision.
Let me read the paragraph. Patrick read a paragraph, and I'm going to go to the next paragraph below that. This is Duvernay speaking. I have stated that the information regarding EDA grant was always a public record available for inspection. Some in the community have countered that statement with the response, "We can't ask for what we don't know about." The editor of our local paper and others have likewise suggested the city staff had an affirmative duty to disclose this information to voters. Catch this last sentence. In my opinion, that perspective is lacking fundamental understanding or appreciation of the election process.
So people are too stupid to get informed. Is that what they're saying? You can't be trained. I mean, this is kind of – I'm getting a lot of deja vu stuff going on here, you know. It's everybody else's fault. Everybody doesn't need this information because it's irrelevant.
Well, it worked up at higher levels. Maybe they thought they could get away with it at a lower level if people are engaged.
Donald Rumsfeld said, "We don't know what we don't know," and that's what they're saying.
And it depends on what is, I guess.
Yeah.
I
but
well, again, and Duvernay goes, in my opinion, and then, again, this is our city attorney, Rick Duvernay, in my opinion, I have stated that the EDA grant restrictions did not become an issue worthy of bringing forward for disclosure after the election and in connection with the Shuffleburger offer. That is because the offer, as presented, would have precluded three of the simple means of bringing the EDA issue to closure, and the council needed to know that information if they were going to consider the Shuffleburger offer. I do wish that you, and again, this is talking to Councilmember Cadd by our city attorney, Rick DuVernay, I do wish you and Councilmember Jones had made an effort to gain the bigger picture by seeking to obtain this information before publicly making allegations of malfeasance on the part of city staff. I thank you for now seeking out this information. I'm happy to provide it to you or anyone else, the original emails and copies of documents referenced in attachments.
Oh, and by the way, here's my resignation.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that there is some it makes me wonder, what else are we missing here? I mean, is there anything else that we don't know about? Isn't full disclosure his job?
It's supposed to be.
What does accountability and transparency mean in city government to the people of the city of Reading?
All right, and
hide
with
the,
that...
Hide the bodies.
Well, with that, we do have a caller on the line. Pete is calling in from Reading. Do you have a question or comment for the panel?
Well, yeah, just a little bit of both. I'm either for or against the hotel. If they do build their hotel, it's successful. I'm kind of questioning... Excuse me, the location, how handy it'll be, how well the hotel will do. But the main point to me is, I think we're talking about selling this land and the value of the land.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it was ever taken into consideration where the city would have kept the land and just leased it to the hotel, even if it was like a 99-year lease. And that way, there just isn't any more land being made. That way the city could have done something with it in the future. Let's suppose that whoever this company is that buys the land and they have the hotel, let's say for 20 years, and the thing fails, they still have the land. How much will that land be worth in 20 years? I mean, they could end up making one heck of a profit on the deal.
Well, I think the farther it gets to the end of the
lease, if that was ever taken into consideration, leasing it, that way that the city would maintain control. I'll go ahead and hang up and take my answer on the air.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
all right, thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
Pete.
I think the answer is that the closer you get to the end of the lease, the more the land value becomes because it's completely unencumbered. But maybe these guys can answer that a little better because maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, the fact of the matter here is that council on a 5-0 vote about 2 years ago, we gave the 5 acres away to McConnell Foundation so that they could move forward with the hotel. They had it. Now, Turtle Bay still has this lease, a lease that no one else would get, mind you, a 50-year lease and then with the possibility of extending it. And we ceased that practice back really in the 1970s. I know from other organizations in town, their 50-year leases were never renewed. But McConnell gets a new one, or Turtle Bay gets a new lease with an extension on that lease. They could have built that hotel over 2.5 years ago, and council unanimously on a 5-0 vote approved that for them to move forward. The real reality here, if you really start digging into the facts, this is not about prevailing wage because they've spent far more money now than what prevailing wage would have ever happened to cost. And the fact of the matter is this is McConnell Foundation flexing their muscles saying that they will do what they want to do when they want to do it, and city staff will help them bend over backwards. I've said for years now that the relationship between McConnell Foundation and the city is way too close, and this has been argued by others, and yeah, we'll talk about it when we come
back.
Yeah,
I've seen the Wall Street Journal article as early as 2000, 2001, whatever it is. You know, I'm looking at this the website here of GuideStar.org, and, you know, it makes me wonder because it shows that the expenses are $1.something million over their budget on the revenues coming in. So it's running a loss, and I guess that's a year after.
This is on Turtle Bay?
On Turtle Bay. And so, you know, I look at who knew about this. We got McConnell knows about it. We got Mike Warren knows about it. We got Bassetti knows about it. We got MacArthur, and we got Sullivan. We got DuVernay, and we got Kurt Starman. And they're all for this.
We're not sure if Sullivan knows right at the moment. We're not sure yet.
Okay, I apologize.
The knitting may have come into play on that. I'm not sure.
The knitting?
Yeah. She's a very good knitter.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh. Oh, okay. Well,
I think we need to go to a break, and then when we come back, we have a caller on the line. So hang on with us, Charles. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came.
There's nothing like being home for the holidays, yet our animal shelter is full of wonderful dogs and cats that may not have a home of their own this holiday season. During the months of November and December, Haven Humane Society is challenging the community to give 200 shelter pets a home for the holidays. Adoption fees are discounted up to 50%. Please give a shelter dog or cat a place to call home this holiday season. Follow our challenge on Facebook and visit Haven Humane Society at 7449 Eastside Road to bring home the greatest gift of all this holiday season.
Looking for a gift your friends and family can enjoy all year long? Memberships for Turtle Bay Exploration Park always make the perfect gift. This holiday season, the value is even better. All gift memberships are $15 off through November and December. That's just $65 for a year of Turtle Bay fun for two adults and up to four children. Give the gift of exploration this year for just $15 off. Visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy.
Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low.
Anyway the wind
blows doesn't really matter to me.
I just said.
I gotta listen to this.
Just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger, now he's dead.
Well, maybe we shouldn't.
Mama,
Sovereign Mind Radio.
No comment. We're gonna leave that one totally alone in here this morning.
Yeah, I can't help it. It's in the gene pool when you're Irish. You know, it just is. So anyway, we're back, Sovereign Mind Radio. Here we're here with the crew, and boy, I'll tell you, you would want to be a fly on the wall here because there's a lot of discussion going on here in the interim segments.
Yeah, a lot of information flying around in here.
Let's talk about this clawback provision in the sense of...
Let's get
Charles on there. Yeah. We don't want to forget about the escrow, though.
Charles, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, actually, that bump was perfect because it's a song about the musings of a guilty man.
I didn't know that.
Well, he was talking about how he had killed somebody and what's he going to do and talking to his mother and, you know, in a sort of a goodbye mom type of a way. And
I got to
so
go.
I mean, that was a perfect choice.
thanks, Charles.
Yeah. Now, getting on to the reason why.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. Now, we have Rick DuVernay, who in the email correspondence, and we have Mitzi MacArthur saying, oh, this is a public record, you should have dug for it. And that this has been public record since April, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, we have John Wilson here, who filed in May a Public Records Act request for all communications pertinent to the matter, and those communications dealing specifically with the clawback provision were excluded from the materials that he got. So we've got a, well, sounds like an unambiguous violation of the Public Records Act. And before I get off the phone, as these emails and others keep getting, as these revelations continue and as more emails materialize, where can we expect to see these, see the postings of these so that the rest of us can find out exactly what's in there?
That's a great question, Charles. I don't know. Maybe we need to get those up online someplace. We could post them in the Shasta Lantern, their new website, possibly. Or we
could put them on Sovereign Mind.
Sovereign Mind Radio's website. We'll come up with something. Maybe we'll figure it out, and we'll let everybody know by next week.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, very good, Charles.
And while you're doing that, we ought to put this document that Mr. DuVernay gave me last Friday and put that online to where the folks can read it, and they can actually look at the words themselves of what Mr. DuVernay is saying.
I think that's a capital suggestion. So, with that, let's talk about this escrow closing issue, unless you got anything else. Charles, are you there?
No, I think I'll let you go on to talk about the non-escrow.
The escrow non-escrow?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the escargot. You've heard that one. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
It's a slow-moving process and very slimy, too.
Very good. Thanks, Charles, and we appreciate
the call.
Too
much information.
Well, you know what escargot, the escargot. Never mind. It's,
I think John over there has got something in regards to the
escrow closing
yeah.
I'm looking at the purchase sales agreement, page 3, item 6. Buyer and seller shall promptly open an escrow. Promptly to me would be maybe a week or so after the Board of Supervisors certifies the election. And then there's provisions in there that they should have the grant deed shall be recorded in escrow and shall be closed on or before 30 days following the effective date and or closing date provided. However, either party shall have the right to extend the closing date for a single period of up to 30 days. So that means that we've essentially got 90 days plus whenever they open escrow, which would be 10, say 100 days. Well, 100 days doesn't bring us to June 2015 when the EDA goes away.
Well, DuVernay said at the council meeting the other night that they could slow walk this and not open the escrow for a while until it got to the past the June problem. I mean, is that true?
Well, yeah, but promptly open, it's promptly is a word that is what's prompt to you and prompt to me. Prompt to me is 10 days. Prompt to somebody else might be 6 months.
I guess it depends on whether you're buying or selling there. The ultimate damages are to this is that the taxpayers are on the hook. If this thing gets appraised higher, this could actually cost the taxpayers of the city of Reading more money than they are going to make on the sale ultimately. Is that way over. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, the thing with it is if you look at the actual appraisals, you had the low number and you had the high number. And the high number was set off of if the property had a use, that there was going to be used for something, which it is. So then those figures were $2.4 million up to $7.4 million. Well, you start talking $2.4, $7.4, and taking 74% of it, and you're talking real money all of a sudden. And the city is not indemnified to that amount. And the EDA could do this. It's within their realm to do this.
And they're not hurting for any money right now. We're not $18 trillion in debt or anything on the federal level, are we? They wouldn't push the issue, would they? Nah, not our guys down there at the...
Mark, here's another nice one from Rick DuVernay. And this is an email going, and he's talking now to Kristen at the EDA. He says, the property will continue to be used to further the original project. No need to respond now, unless you want to. I just wanted to give you a shot across the bow. Thanks, Rick DuVernay. And again, October 29th. So this is just before the election. They're still trying to argue, and they're going back and forth over months and months over this EDA. So we don't think it's important. It's a minor issue, yet they're discussing it for months and months, but yet it's a minor issue. Well, clearly from the emails, it's not a minor issue. It's a major issue where indemnification does not apply. The city attorney is arguing with the EDA attorney, and and they haven't told the voters, and they didn't think that it would come out at all. But the fact of the matter is, because of the work that myself and Councilmember Catt has done, we've brought it out to the public for discussion. And City Council today, the majority, which is Mayor Bozzetti, Sullivan, and MacArthur, will not discuss this in open session as we've asked. So clearly they're wanting to keep this information down. Now, I'm so thankful for the radio station for what you guys do today so that we can start getting this information out. When I called Jenny Espino from the Record Searchlight, as soon as I knew this information, which was the Thursday night when my packet came out after the election, they wouldn't put it in the paper either. Only until Mark Beecham blogged about it and got to the meat of it, then the paper decided. So DuVernay is right. The media is partially responsible, but they're working with the city and they're disclosing valuable and important information to the public. The fact of the matter is we've caught city staff withholding valuable information to the voters. It's going to be perceived, in any case, as voter fraud.
You just have to ask anybody out there, just have to ask yourself one question here. Would this have affected my vote had I known that and had been fully disclosed to us, the voters in the city of Reading, that there was a potential liability that would cost us more than the actual sale of the property that we would be receiving? Is that pertinent to your ability to discern voting for it or against it in the process?
And that's what I was going to say. Had this information been released, not only would the outcome of Measure B may or may not have been changed, but I've talked to several people since this came out, and they would have changed their vote because of this. Not only that, but the city council election itself may have changed because of the stance of the various candidates that were involved in the election.
One thing needs to be I'll step up here and make a comment in favor of the Record Searchlight, but sometimes they and I don't get along. But having said that, the editorial page earlier this week had a comment that the letter should have been brought out ahead of time from EDA, and that they should have moved to open session to where everybody could have heard what was going on there. Excuse me. So the paper can come out with articles that are transparent and straightforward for the people. It's just that we got to start putting pressure on them, because at times it looks as though maybe some of the information comes from city staff that they write about or they don't write about.
Now, after the election, and that was early November. November 10th, city staff goes so far to say city staff and the McConnell Foundation are aware of this issue and intend to work cooperatively to address the issue during the escrow period. Now, we're finding out that the escrow period, from the time that the vote is certified on December 2nd, may, in the contract, might only give them 90 days. So they're not necessarily, which it's a little early to tell yet, but they may not be able to postpone this till after June like they would like to. And in essence, that may change everything. Now, this staff report continues to go on to say that in McConnell Foundation, as we have been informed by the EDA, that McConnell could potentially qualify as a nonprofit to stand in the shoes of the city. Now, who would else get such a thing? Who else would have such an opportunity to stand in the shoes of the city on such a deal? This, again, is because McConnell and City Hall are too closely related. In fact, often I'm not sure one from the other.
Well, a lot of their contributions are straight to the city, isn't it? Aren't they?
Well, it's what the city does for McConnell that simply, I would like to be fair and help everyone. That is,
sure,
in fact, the role of government.
Sure.
But the key there is fair to all. And for those things that we do to McConnell, we would need to do that for all. And that is not the case here. In fact, this whole thing down at Turtle Bay is not fair. Other museums have asked for help, and this council has denied other museums from help. The Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center comes to mind, that they asked for a small amount of help when we had a little discretionary funds, and they were denied by the majority of this council. So it's unfair.
I hate to cut you off, but they're going to cut us off. But stay tuned with us, and we'll continue this conversation after the top of the hour. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media. Before I leave your life completely, tell me,
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. All that snow that fell on Buffalo and other parts of upstate New York is melting in spring-like temperatures this weekend, and that means trouble.
It sounds relatively harmless. It's water, and it comes up and it goes down. It's not water. It's a toxic brew is what happens in a flood.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who says the flooding that's yet to come may be as dangerous as the big snow. Five counties under a flood watch at this hour. Lawmakers in Afghanistan today have put their final seal of approval on a deal that will keep some international troops, including Americans, in their country after combat operations end this year. Lawmakers approved agreements today with both the U.S. and NATO to keep an aggregate total of 12,000 soldiers in Afghanistan in 2015. Talks between six nations and Iran over the latter country's nuclear ambitions continue today with a Monday deadline.
The German Foreign Minister, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, described this weekend's talks as the moment of truth. Progress, he said, was possible if Iran wanted it. But the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, said significant differences remain. The big sticking points are the timing of sanctions relief for Iran and the future size and scope of its uranium enrichment work.
BBC correspondent Bethany Bell, Iran is already saying that the deadline probably should be moved forward. Former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry has died. He was 78 years old. He came up as a civil rights activist, first won the mayorship in 1978. It was all overshadowed by a drug conviction in 1990. A man released from prison after 20 years for a murder he did not commit will get $3.6 million in compensation from New York State. The Daily News reports State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has approved that payout. This is SRN News.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Logo 6, the most advanced Bible study software, is now available. Logo 6 offers new Bible study tools and interactive media that will dramatically change the way Christians study the Word. Logo 6 empowers Christians to study the Bible's background, explore Greek and Hebrew, visualize the biblical world, and make new and exciting discoveries. Pastors will benefit from innovative tools like visual copy and cultural concepts to create engaging presentations. Logos is the easy-to-use study tool Tim Keller, Tony Evans, Matt Chandler, and Beth Moore depend on for their sermon and writing prep. With Logos, they spend less time searching and more time discovering. Logos Bible software has grown from a couple of programmers in a basement over 20 years ago into the largest developer of Bible study software and a worldwide leader in multilingual electronic publishing. See the amazing new Logo 6. Visit logos.com. That's logos.com.
Tunisia has taken another step forward in its peaceful transition to democracy today, holding its first free presidential elections, with voters hoping for more stability and a better economy. Many Tunisians weighed security against the freedoms brought by their revolution and its democratic transition, which has remained on track in sharp contrast to the upheavals brought by the Arab Spring elsewhere in the region, including the brutal military coup in Egypt and conflicts in Syria, Yemen, and Libya. The frontrunner for the amongst nearly two dozen candidates, Benji Kaid Essebi, an 87-year-old former minister. Vladimir Putin says he will not remain Russia's president for life, but will step down in line with the Russian Constitution. Putin is not ruling out running for a fourth term in 2018, which would extend his time in office through 2024. He says staying beyond that, however, would be, quote, detrimental to the country. This is SRN News. This year's White House Christmas tree will soon arrive here in Washington. SRN's Greg Cluxton reports.
America celebrates Thanksgiving on Thursday, but 2 days later, First Lady Michelle Obama will welcome the arrival of the official White House Christmas tree. This year's tree is an 18.5-foot Douglas fir grown by Chris Botek, a Christmas tree farmer from Pennsylvania. It will be delivered by horse-drawn carriage and will be on display in the White House Blue Room during the holidays. Greg Clugston, SRN News, Washington.
Today is Sunday, November the 23rd. It is the 327th day of 2014. There are 38 days left in the old year. On this date in history, 1765, Frederick County, Maryland became the first colonial entity to repudiate the Stamp Act. And on this date in 1903, Enrico Caruso made his American debut at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York, appearing in Rigoletto. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. We are Americans, you know.
Yes, we are.
And so we're actually thinking that the government should be held accountable to the people, not the other way around. So,
and it's pretty hot here in the studio this morning with that.
So we have been doing a lot of investigative journalism here lately. And, you know, with all this investigative journalism...
How many... There we go. And we're on.
We just got... I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's really true. I mean, it's almost like a completely novel concept anymore to do any investigative journalism. It's like talking about the Record Searchlight. They don't do anything unless they're absolutely forced to. I mean, you know, it's like my dad always said, you know... The dog would have caught the rabbit if he hadn't stopped to take a crap. And, I mean, that's what's going on with these guys.
Well, in full disclosure, I took Wilson's chair because it's more comfortable than mine.
Okay.
Patrick is still a city councilman and has much power than I don't have.
I am on council till December 2nd, so I have now, here's an interesting point. I only have, as an elected official, one more vote to cast on December 2nd. So when we come back and have my last council meeting, we'll have a roll call and invocation. And then, interestingly, we must certify the results of the Shasta County elections. Ooh. This is going to be difficult because on Measure B, because I think of the issues that were not disclosed to the voters, that I am not going to be able to certify the results of Measure B. And in fact, it's been said that this measure may have influenced much more than just this measure, but I cannot support certifying the results of this. Nothing that Shasta County Elections Department did, they did their job, but because I believe there is a high possibility of voter fraud, the voters were not fully informed, knowing and willfully withheld information from city staff. I think this is more than minor. Now, here's another important issue, and I think our city attorney is grasping. Here's another interesting thing. It says, in the opinion of the city attorney, the city council does not have legal authority to accept the offer. They were talking about the Shuffleburger offer. It says, no ordinance that is either proposed by initiative, petition, or adopted by a vote of the legislative body. The problem is this is not an initiative. This is, and this is an impartial analysis of a referendum measure. Of Measure B is what Duvernay was supposed to have written, an impartial analysis of a referendum, not an initiative. So, in fact, this offer, simply Measure B did not pass. Council has full authority. They are not stopped from the sale, so they can simply make the sale or they can take another offer too. We're not prohibited in any manner on a referendum.
Shouldn't there be bids on this property? I mean, Gary brought up a good point, I thought, before he had to leave, is that in any other instance of property being sold by the city, don't they put it up for open bid?
Yeah, and I think Gary was mentioning, Councilmember Cadd was mentioning, that anything over $25,000 would have to go to the competitive bid process. And here, clearly, again, we have something that was offered to McConnell that no one else would get. And I can tell you for certain that today we obviously know there are other people interested. The Shuffleburger offer clearly proves that. He feels the property is worth way more than $1 million is why he's offering $1 million. Now, why this offer is interesting is because he has the wherewithal. He has the ability. He's a very well-known businessman, owns many things. He's done well, and he certainly has the ability to take this property and then develop it. And so this clearly shows that for some council members that have said no one else has made the offer, well, most people were obviously scared to make an offer to go up against the city in McConnell because of retaliation.
Right.
That's big in this town, and they would like to say we have no evidence of that. But the reality is Mr. Shuffleburger is not going to sit by quietly. He put his mouth and his money on the line to say this ain't right. And that's what his offer represented. He's got many properties, many, many properties in many different states. Did he really need this piece of property? No. But he knew that it was wrong to sell it for $600,000. No one else was at the table. And it was not fair. And that's our job at council. We have to scrutinize these things from city staff. It's one of our most important jobs. I'm gonna go back to Councilmember Sullivan and why I think her voting record shows so poorly over these last 4 years is that she has never disagreed with city staff in opened or closed session. I think there's something terribly wrong with that. When you don't bring anything to the table, we have to look at those reports. But when we're not given reports, how can we scrutinize them? How can we tell whether the EDA clawback is in effect or not when we don't have it in a timely manner? We only learn of it after the fact. It really shows poorly on our city staff, and I think the voters are starting to see that today. Whether they support Measure B or not, they're starting to see a picture, and some of the things that myself and Councilmember Cadd has shown is that they're not working on behalf of the elected officials and the public. They're sometimes working for these other groups in an unfair manner.
So there's a fact pattern here that's basically what you're saying is that the voters' best interests are not necessarily what's the staff or the city staff has in mind.
You know, here's another email, and I've remembered this one almost word for word, so I'll do the best that I can on it. This was an email from Rick Duvernay to Mike Warren talking about this Turtle Bay before the ballot initiative and all that was moving forward. And Duvernay says, hey, Mike, if you're going to change your direction with regards to the determination of the DIR, there is some substantial risk involved, and we're going to need council approval. Remember,
the DIR being?
The Department of Internal
Industrial
Relations.
Okay.
And this is in about prevailing wage and so forth. So he's saying, hey, if you're going to change, there's substantial risk there, meaning taxpayers' money. And it goes on to say that, you know, we have council members that cannot be trusted and or sabotage this project. So weigh this into your risk assessment. We have to be squeaky clean on this and then get back with me.
Wow.
Now, we have that email.
Wow.
And this was back, 2 years ago or greater.
We should post that with the other emails.
Well, and it's been that email has been spoken of word for word in open session. And do you think the Record Searchlight would have the decency to print that? But what it clearly shows is Duvernay here is working for Mike Warren. He's not working on behalf of the taxpayers because he says there's risk, substantial risk, but doesn't let the public know, doesn't let council know. He should have at least let me know as his boss,
right,
that there is risk here, money, money.
So who's he looking out for? You know, that's the question.
He's working for Mike Warren, not doing his fiduciary responsibility and representing the taxpayer, and he's not informing council members. So now that we've found this issue with Measure B and this EDA issue, what else? What else is out there?
What haven't you been shown on?
And we heard earlier from our city manager, Kurt Starman, that there were many other grants, too, that we cleaned them up.
Right.
Well, maybe council needs to see what we cleaned up here. Did we do it in a fair and impartial manner? Because from this, from Measure B alone and from what we've seen, things weren't being cleaned up. Things were being hidden and withheld from council members. It's really easy to email us. We get emails every day. It would really be easy on April 24th to email that over to us and say, we've got this issue with a 1995. In fact, I'll read that because I think that's important that the public listen to what occurred on that day.
Yeah, because these guys are just pushing it's all sour grapes after the election. I mean, you know, they're saying, you know, basically that's going to be their mantra is basically you guys lost the election and now you're just trying to dig up some kind of dirt that doesn't matter, you know. But it does.
I tried to get this out before and they squashed it and they would not let the public hear about it. Now, I can tell you I've been very proud. I'm very proud of the 8 years that I've done. I've got one more council meeting. And, you know, I've won elections and lost elections. In fact, I've lost 4 elections and I've won 2. So I'm very, very comfortable with winning and losing. And, in fact, that's all that can happen is you can win and lose. And Mayor Bozzetti said the other day that I was a sore loser. And I would tell Mayor Bozzetti that he doesn't know much. The process, I'm very much in favor. I really enjoy the process of elections. I enjoy talking to people, and it's up to the voters whether they want to put me back in or not.
Sure.
And I already knew going into it that third runs are very difficult to do, and I did the best that I could. I put myself in a position where I might be able to have a third term, and I didn't win. Others beat me. I'm very happy with that, certainly far from a sore loser. But here's an interesting thing. In 1995, the city received a grant from the federal government, the Economic Development Administration, we call it EDA. The $1.6 million grant was used for partial development of Turtle Bay Exploration Park. The grant restrictions are set to expire in June 2015. One of the grant restrictions provides that if the land is sold for the purpose different than the original project, that the federal government can claw back funds from the land sale. The EDA has determined that the clawback is in effect and the federal government is entitled to 74% of the fair market value of the property sold. City staff and the McConnell Foundation are aware of this issue and intend to work cooperatively to address the issue during escrow period. The problem is they were aware of this issue starting on the exact day of April 24th, and they did not let council members or the public know as they moved forward in a ballot initiative. That's pretty critical. And then from the emails that we have, back and forth, page after page after page, multiple people, Greg Clark, Rick DuVernay, Sue Thompson, and others, that clearly this was an important issue that was not resolved. They say it was minor, and clearly with so many emails, it was not. A substantial amount of money just from the $600,000, the sale price, that clawback could have been as much as $450,000. That's not minor. That's a big issue the voters would have probably wanted to know. To make matters more complicated, it is possible that the EDA would have done their own impartial appraisal where they wrote the appraisal description.
Much higher.
And it could have been much higher. Meanwhile, we're selling it for $600,000. And I tell you today with all certainty, the indemnification for you, the taxpayer, is not there. And that is a big issue. The indemnification is not there.
Well, and the Measure B proponents spent more money, $500,000 or whatever on this thing to get it on. This doesn't add up no matter how you slice the pie. Something stinks here. But we have a caller on the line.
We do. We have Billy Bob from Palisadro. Are you there, Billy Bob?
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
Hey, I surely appreciate everything you've done, Patrick, and I've talked to you before. And you just hit on it where last Friday on Free Fire Radio in the morning, that's when I heard Bozzetti call you a sore loser. And that's the only reason you're bringing this information to the forefront here. That is the biggest crock. And I'll tell you what, for a two-bit baseball player, you should have a little bit more respect for someone as smart as you. And I'll tell you what, congratulations to you for putting up this fight and whatever can be uncovered. Because you, with the McConnells in the city, you're dealing with a bunch of rattlesnakes. You're right in the thick of it right now, big boy. And I'll tell you what, if you go back to the history of the McConnell Foundation formation back in the late 80s, which I know all the details of, it would astound you. And all the Salters and Macaroli or whatever his name is, these guys are a bunch of crooks. So anyway, good luck. Hope you unravel this for us because we need people like you. And again, I'm sorry that Bozzetti, the two-bit baseball player he was, called you a sore loser.
Thanks. Thanks for the call, Billy.
Well, thanks, Billy
Bob.
And
Billy
Bob. You know, I've like I say, you know, the 8 years, I've been very very blessed to be able to have been elected in 2006, be reelected in 2010, and be mayor in 2010. And so I can always look back on that with pride and honor. And so I'm very proud that the people put me in a very tough time in the city's history.
But we got. I think we have another caller on the line. Do we have?
Yes, we do. We have Terry. Hi, Terry. How you doing?
Come on, you guys. As the mayor said, I mean, there's nothing here.
Move along, little boy, to the next exhibit.
There's nothing here. Come on. Holy mackerel. Anyway, I know that Mr. Starman, when I asked him the question this morning, I think I got a yes out of him. I wanted to get a yes or no, whether or not he had
kind of stumbled on it.
Who else had knowledge other than Mr. Vassetti and Missy MacArthur? And I asked him if Francie did or they had any emails. And according to him, they're an open book. So maybe just a suggestion for investigative reporting.
Yeah, we need the organ music.
All right.
Anyway, with investigative reporting, why don't we go down there? maybe someone should go down there from the media with a cameraman and go and ask about, all this information that Mr. Starman and Mr. Duvernay, oh, they're an open book.
Did you ask?
They're just happy to give us any information. How about the emails going back to April 1st?
Did you ask Duvernay to come on the show, sis?
Yes, I did. Actually, I called him and...
well, Terry, you know...
Well, I was kind of declined. He said he wouldn't come on until maybe... Well, let me back up. His secretary said that he would probably give me a call, but don't look for the call this week. Maybe by next week he would call
me. Interesting
to
have him.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting fact. This goes back to January 15th. And so they, again, Duvernay's complaining at myself and Councilmember Cadd and the media for not just requesting this information. But here's Sue Thompson, who's working for the city of Reading, January 15th. And here's she's writing this to Greg Clark, our deputy assistant.
Who's Sue
Thompson used to work for the city of Reading. Her boss essentially would be Kurt Starman.
Okay.
And it says, and so she's writing to Greg. She says, Greg, this is, again, January 15th, the start of this year. She says, I cannot find a copy of the actual EDA financial assistance award that provided the $1.6 million to Turtle Bay. I checked the clerk's records and found reference to it, but no actual documents. And then Greg, and so, I mean, here she can't find it.
Right,
she's having to dig. And then here's Greg and Rick together, and this is the EDA documents provided to Sue Thompson on March 19th. And he says, here is the EDA grant that I have been chasing for a couple of months.
Wow.
So we've got two staff members that have been trying to track this down for 2 months, and then they want to blame me and Councilmember Cadd and the media for not being able to do it.
And Bush. And others.
And so here it takes them months to find this thing down. The fact of the matter is on April 24th, they got back a review from the EDA that was not what they wanted. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. It was substantial. It said, you're going to need to pay back 74% of it, a minimum of $450,000, undetermined if they're going to do their own appraisal. That's substantial information. They knew it. They went back and forth many, many, many times. We've got the emails, and they say it's minor. We've caught them in an outright lie, but critically, they went to the voters and withheld it from the voters. That's a serious issue. And people will be held accountable, and it's incumbent upon us to follow through on this,
right,
to show the public that we're not just going to let this slide, right, that when this occurs, we have to act. We have no choice.
Right. I agree.
Again, when we go and get this information, then again, Mr. Duvernay and Mr. I can't remember his name. Is it Starman or Transparency? When they said that we could get whatever we wanted, maybe we should go in there with a camera and several witnesses and see just how long it takes us to get that information, just how cooperative they are, and film it. Because I really think that really and truly, and I have talked to some people who voted a certain way on B, and they did say that in lieu of this new information, that their votes would have changed.
Wow.
This is just not good any way you stretch it. So I think somebody really needs to go down there. In fact, I would think Mike Mangus of KRCR should probably go down there with a cameraman and say, okay, we're going to pretend like we're people who want information.
To get the facts right.
The thing is that really and truly, if you're not going to give information to the city council, how does someone go in there and really get this information? It's not like just walking in there and hand it over. The other question I have is really and truly, I would like to see Francie Sullivan's emails, and I'd like to know what her conversations were, if there were any, with Mr. DuVernay or with Mr. Starman about this subject, or anyone else on staff, or more importantly, maybe with the McConnells, or maybe even more importantly, the emails between Mr. Bassetti, Missy MacArthur, and Francie Sullivan.
I think those can be had.
They can be had. I know they can be had. And after all, we've just been told that we can have whatever we want. And I know that that's public record. So really and truly, you know, where's the press on this? Where are people getting on this thing? Are you tired of the corruption at City Hall? Are you tired yet?
Yeah, seems like, you know, we get a lot of the Sergeant Schultz defense here lately. You know, I know nothing.
But well, some of them probably don't.
To me, this was one of the most important issues that came up that was not divulged to us, because in the end, it may be net zero to the city. We should have been netting $3 or $4 or $5 million so we could do some road repairs and those kinds of things, and it's going to be a net zero or maybe a net minus.
Who is the biggest landholder in the city?
McConnell Foundation owns 132 pieces of property in or near the city.
Wow.
I don't know whether that's the largest landowner in the city, but I would guess that to be true.
This couldn't be about acquiring more land.
Yes, it could be about acquiring more land.
Prime city land, prime river property.
At a very cheap price.
They would tell us. I'm absolutely surprised at your pessimism.
Yeah. They just want to help Turtle Bay out. I mean, we have to have a good hotel.
Oh,
look
at
all the jobs that it's going to create. I mean, really.
All right. Bob, you got to run that, Bob. Get that queued up.
Here's an Here's another interesting email. This one, this time, is a Mike Ashby. This is the attorney that works for Turtle Bay. And this is as late as March 24th. And it says, assuming the grant applies to the sale of the property, the McConnell Foundation would obviously want to complete a release and any related restrictions, obligations related to the property. And we'd have to think about how that would be accomplished, since there is apparently no recorded memo of this grant. A quitclaim deed may not be necessary or appropriate. Anyway, that's the direction we need to be moving, Mike Ashby, attorney at law. So again, even as late as March 24th, they're not sure of what is recorded on the grant. They're not sure. And again, they're trying to complain that we didn't know. And here, their attorney. So how many people are involved in this?
Right.
We're starting to see more and more. Obviously, attorney for Turtle Bay, or in this case, McConnell Foundation, would be in there. And it isn't a minor issue, Mark.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, we talked about open session. What would be the benefit of this being an open session and talked about? Because obviously the 3-2 council doesn't want this to be an open session item. Why is that?
You know, it's for the last year or two, we've had a lot of 3-2s. Council member Cad and myself have been on the losing end of many battles. We're not just simply going to go along to get along. That's what this last election was said of us, is that there's dysfunction on the city council because we're not going along to get along. It's the wrong word. It was not dysfunction at all. It's that we have a different way of looking at things.
You're not cooperating with the crooks.
Well, we have a – you know, if you stand on your chair and you look at something at a different angle – you're going to see something different than someone that's sitting.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
And so we are looking at things differently on behalf of the taxpayers, trying to do our job the best that we know how to do.
Sure.
And these council members clearly are not thinking on behalf of the tax and the ratepayer. Let's not hide it. Let's talk about it.
What's in it for these guys? I mean, why would they not operate in the best interest of the city, you know, in their capacity as councilmen and women?
It's a very good question. And we can discuss it as we come back from the break.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567.
I know nothing.
Nice, Bob.
I don't know if it'd be detrimental or not to Dawn, but planting that seed, how they...
This is Community Radio for the North State.
Again, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567.
That's what's known as a very pregnant pause.
Yep. Crickets.
This one's for Councilman Jones. I know he loves this song.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, drips or drops, you've got what it takes. So be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta Springwater, pure and simple, naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Crossbearers is a free veteran support group for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. Still dealing with PTSD? Still feeling misunderstood? Missing the camaraderie? Issues with VA paperwork? These are just a few of the issues we can talk about in our group. Crossbearers meets every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Neighborhood Church in Reading. For more information, contact Rob Garcia at 530-221-5683. Crossbearers, a group for veterans, run by veterans.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I see the moon horizon. I see trouble on the way. I see
There's a lot of things on the rise, I think, here.
Hey, boy. Yeah.
Wait till we start talking economic issues.
And here we go.
Well, and I've got another one for you now. These emails just keep coming back and forth. And
the
gift that
keeps on giving.
This is a memorandum, and it says, and this is Rick DuVernay again making some general statements, and this is our city attorney DuVernay saying, because the EDA appeared to be operating under erroneous assumptions regarding the clawback language. So he's saying that the EDA attorney is being erroneous. And because other opinions resulting in no financial impact to the city were available to resolve the issue, i.e. transfer grantee status to McConnell, or wait until the grant expires, no one on the city's negotiation team was particularly concerned. So I'm glad
you can't make this stuff up. I don't care who you are, you know.
It makes you wonder if they're not working in conjunction with Lois Lerner or something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, when you read those kinds of things, they're just simply trying to downplay the fact that the internal communications paint a very different picture, that is not the case at all. You can't make a statement like that. And that statement was made in November of this year. When you go back and look at the emails from January, February, March, April, particularly.
So even if the staff thought it was not a big deal, it seems like the EDC.
EDA.
Or I'm sorry, the EDA. There's so many EDs and there's so many acronyms anymore, you can't even keep up with them. But they evidently thought it was a big deal.
Well, the staff, from the emails, they knew it was a big deal. They were worried. You could see it. And you could see that they had not anticipated a 74% clawback. You could see that. And the emails relating to it clearly showed that this was a big deal and they didn't want the public to know about it.
And one of the thoughts I've had from the very beginning of this land deal is the city has been in such a hurry to facilitate the giveaway of this land. They've made so many mistakes. And this is just another one of those mistakes for getting in a hurry.
And why, pray tell, would they want to facilitate the giveaway of this land so much?
I don't know.
We need another investigative reporting thing. You know,
where's the
organ on that one?
On the telephone right now.
Yeah, otherwise we'd get the organ in there. You know,
This is clearly damage control. When you had Starman show up this morning, that's damage control. They don't show up to things like this.
They don't even care. They don't even like us. I mean, you know, we were told by someone that they wouldn't. You don't want to. I think it was Sullivan or somebody or who said that. That I don't think she said it per se, but you don't want to go over there, guys. Those guys are.
Oh,
they believe in the Tea Party.
Well, here's another one. I like this one, and John's going to appreciate this one. It says one of the things that they needed to resolve, and they have several things here, many things on this page where they needed to resolve. But one of them was research and advise citizen John Wilson regarding his allegations that Councilmember MacArthur has a legal conflict of interest and cannot vote on the matter associated with the land transaction. Monitor complaint he filed with the FPPC, which was dismissed without any formal investigation.
And the FPPC is?
Fair Political Practice Commission.
So they are the ones in charge. Good one, Bob. So we've created a monster over here. Those are the ones that are actually in charge. Those are the guys from the state that are in charge of investigating voter issues?
Yeah, anytime you have a complaint of this matter, or if you have an issue of an elected official that's possibly been involved in an interest issue, Missy MacArthur has had known affiliations and is partners with Mike Ashby at Turtle Bay. She's very good and close friends with Lee Salter's wife, Judy Salter. She's been on the board of McConnell Foundation.
And Lee Salter is the
CEO of McConnell Foundation. And so clearly there are some very close and disturbing closenesses there that if you were really transparent, you would recuse yourself of such an appearance of a conflict. So whether there was a conflict or not, because of these close – you have business partners and you have best friends, you might want to think differently on such a controversial issue, but she chose not to. The other issue here is that, you know, who could get $107,000 – and there's really more money involved than that – from the city without a reimbursement agreement on all the mergers and parcels that were created and this parcel map. This was a lot of work. This also, this property was deeded open space to the public when it was when we first acquired it way back. We had to change the deed from open space. And so the city did approximately $107,000 worth of work, but made no agreement how that would be repaid. Tell me who in this city could do such a thing and get such a great deal on behalf of the taxpayers with no agreement. If I went to the city and said, I want to buy this piece of property, and they had to do a bunch of work to get it able to be sold and it wasn't listed as surplus, I would be billed for that straight up. But here, that's on the back of the taxpayers again, and I wouldn't approve that issuance of those funds. Council majority did on a 3-2. There we go again, a 3-2. Boy, there's just so much dysfunction.
You're such an obstructionist and such a sour grape. We've got a caller on the line.
Yeah, we have Henry with a question. Are you there, Henry?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Pat?
Hey, very good, Hank. Appreciate all the work that you've done over this last year. I know you've called in many times, and appreciate you doing all the work that you've done.
I've got a couple of questions for you. I called in earlier and talked to that gentleman from the city a little bit, and it appears to me like at least some members of the city staff and a couple of members of the council were in collusion on this whole thing. Now, that's a harsh word, but I don't know any other word for it.
Well, you're right, Hank. They knew.
It appears to me that they withheld information from the other council members, and I believe that collusion is still a crime in the state of California on this type of thing when they try and defraud the voters out of money. My suggestion would be to get hold of the Attorney General's office and have a full-scale investigation. And I mentioned that to the gentleman this morning, and he said, well, that wouldn't bother me because my conscience is clear. Well, if the Attorney General investigates it and it comes out that there is no collusion, then he would be clear. So what's he afraid of?
Well, I agree. And clearly here, when we have uncovered emails that shows that our city attorney cannot trust two council members, and these were the very same two council members that were withheld this information, that we've got a problem in the administration at City Hall when two members, two of their bosses, have particularly been withheld information. Now, that's insubordination, and that is grounds for termination.
What's entailed about contacting the California's Attorney General and bringing a complaint?
And I'll get to that. But first, the issue of not letting council members know pertinent information, that's insubordination, and that's a bad thing. And the majority of council could terminate positions and individuals for doing that. Worse than that, that's minor. The worst situation is not informing the public on a ballot referendum. That's important and that's critical. That could be perceived.
I agree with that 100%. I'm sure that would have never passed if the taxpayers would have known they could be liable for several million dollars.
Well, and we will never know that. But clearly, when they're withheld information, the public should be upset, and I think we're starting to see that. And I do believe, Hank, that you will see this move forward with the state's attorney general, maybe the U.S. attorney general, but I can guarantee you people are working on that as we speak.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, there's so much corruption. Fact of the matter is, to be perfectly frank with you, many years ago there was a thing called Teapot Dome. Those fellows that did Teapot Dome could take lessons from the city already.
Well, thanks for being perfectly frank. My dad was almost going to call me Frank once upon a time.
Frank Henry Jones?
My uncle was Frank, and he was going to call me Frank, but he was mad at his brother Frank, so he didn't call me Frank, called me Patrick. Thank you, Hank.
This will move ahead and we can get it resolved.
Yeah, I mean,
get it done before this can be brought to a final conclusion of sale.
Well, we appreciate the call, Hank, and again, thank you for calling in so regularly.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, bye. Hank. It's interesting because I remember at the last election at one of the debates, one of the prospective elected or going to be running for council, I'm not going to name any names, said it was an outrage that anybody would ask for the firing of any of the city staff. and at any of the debates, and it was funny because that was my question.
Yeah, and I've always said the papers misquoted me on many occasions. They said I would fire the city attorney. That might be true, actually.
your answer wasn't that you would fire them. Your answer, if I remember correctly, was if there was any malfeasance or anything that warranted them to be fired.
The way that I've always stated it, and I've had these talks with our city manager many times over the years, and that if the will of council is carried out and if they do that correctly, then I have no problem with city staff. But when the will of council is not carried out, then they must be fired. We're their bosses, and they have five bosses. And so I'm perfectly comfortable. There have been many years where I had 4-1s before Councilmember Cad came around. I was on losing battles 4-1, and staff carried out the majority of those decisions. They carried that out. And that's the process, and I believe in the process. But there have been several occasions where city council, on a 3-2, overrode staff's recommendation, meaning we did not do what staff recommended that we do, and we went a different direction, and I saw staff drag their feet, and to the point where things almost slow down and stop. And that, to me...
So this is the dog or the tail wagging the dog is what you're saying.
That's insubordination, and I have big problems with that. Now, that's only happened a few times because it's rare that I could count to three going against city staff in a different direction. But I saw it over 8 years. There was a few occasions where that occurred, and that concerned me. To say that I would simply fire our city manager and our city attorney without saying anything else is incorrect. Now, with regards to our city attorney, has he done some things that I think are worth letting him go? Yes, particularly when we go back to the issue in front of the library, when folks wanted to hand out pocket constitutions and we needed to craft an ordinance to restrict those people from doing that or anybody else from doing something in a time, place, and manner in front of a public building, the city attorney was just dead wrong, and it violated the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment, and in addition cost the taxpayers $285,000. Yet it cost him nothing.
Right.
And I argued against that. Also on the issue of marijuana and creating an ordinance for the dispensaries, I argued that we should take no action that would put council members in liability, and the chief's white papers agreed with that. And the city attorney, again, went against that when I was mayor in 2010 and decided to create a scheme. And ultimately, we had to have a special council meeting to reverse that because councils were put in a liable position. So there have been issues and times where I've highly disagreed with the city attorney. I've been proven right on these issues, and it's cost the taxpayers money. He is not doing his fiduciary responsibility to watch for the public funds in the best manner possible and to protect council members. That's his job. And ultimately, he works for the people of Reading. In this particular case, it's clear to me that he's not working on behalf of 90,000 people. He's working on behalf of Turtle Bay. That's not his role.
Or McConnell.
And McConnell, both of them.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I come from the private sector. I think I would have fired everybody already. I mean, sorry, that's the way I when I see someone is not operating in the best interest of the company or in the private sector, you go out of business if that happens too much, and if people are using subterfuge. But
what's interesting, Mark, is this issue. And I agree that in April 24th of 2014. Once the city knew that the clawback clause was in effect, all they had to do was email the entire city council and say, we've got a new twist to this thing, that there is a clawback to 74%. We disagree with that, and we're going to try to change that, but it's there, and we're going to let the public know about it too. That's end of story, done.
Yeah, that makes too much sense because then the only reason that you wouldn't do that is if you're afraid it would affect the outcome of the election.
And that is why they did it. That is exactly why they did it, because this was a large enough issue that a clawback of this magnitude would be $450,000, and was McConnell willing to indemnify truly for that amount? And now I think you're probably going to find out that no, they didn't want to pay that amount. And what was likely to happen, if we never got, to be honest, if we had not called for this Shuffleburger offer, to be discussed in open session, we would have never found out about this particular clawback issue, and it would have been a non-starter. I suspect what would have happened is escrow would have been closed prior to the June of 2015, and this would have just simply gone away no matter what the conditions of the clawback clause said. And that concerns me, that we're withheld that much information and the public is withheld that much information as if it's minor and we should not be worried by it. The emails clearly show these were not minor issues. They go back and forth for months and months, and they simply knew that this would affect the outcome. So therefore, on December 2nd, my last function as a council member, I will not certify the results of the Shasta County elections with regards to Measure B. I do not know what the rest of the colleagues, my colleagues, will do. But I remind them of this, that if they knowingly accept the results of that election, knowing there's possibility of voter fraud, they could put themselves into a difficult position, and they might want to think about delaying and postponing the results of Measure B until a formal attorney general audit and review is done.
Do you think they could be end up personally liable at all for any of that?
I don't know, but they may want to think about protecting themselves when you have an issue of voter fraud or the possibility of voter fraud. They might want to consider delaying this until we can put it to bed.
I think that in most cases in these type of settings where you find negligence on the part of the people, that they do lose their immunity in most cases.
Well, if they did something knowingly, and if they withheld information from the voters and they knew that, and we know council member Mayor Bozzetti knew, and we knew council member MacArthur knew, and we knew that they knew early on. They knew about it, and yet others did not know about it. That could be a real issue for them. So they might want to think about that as we move forward. And, you know, December 2nd, I only have about 15 minutes on council because we have a very brief time, and then we'll be swearing in the new council members. And it's going to be important as they raise their right hand and they swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state of California. I think this is a great example. I think this is going to really set the tone for these new council members in that you want to do everything that you can to hold this position true and honest and make sure that things like this don't happen and bring them out. We could have brought this out.
Right.
That special meeting should have been called prior to this election, and this should have been known as people
prior to the
went
vote.
To the vote.
Prior to the vote, yeah.
I think we have to take our last break, and then we'll come back, and maybe we can give some pointers to the people out there what they might be able to do to get involved and get the information out to the general public. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North Side.
They call me the mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Red and Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Red and Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. call Red and Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
This is Carl and the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we're going to talk immigration. What are the Republicans going to do about the executive order that President Obama has issued? Also, your last line of defense when it comes to pills in the pharmacy. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor. Feeling like a
And we're back?
We're back. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, and we are right. We just jumped both feet right into the middle of it.
Yeah, these 3 hours went by quick. But during the break, John, you mentioned something about escrow that I wanted to go over about if this land deal closes, you know, that's a pretty done deal. Is there any way people can get involved and stop it?
The lead will be gone.
Yeah.
My only comment was that once escrow closes on property, it's very hard to reverse that escrow if it closes. This escrow, if the citizens of Reading want to maintain this property for themselves and for the use of our future generations, this escrow cannot close because it would be impossible to turn over without multitudes of attorney and multitudes of money, and we all know who has that.
Right.
I mean, isn't that the problem to begin with, though? I mean, isn't this whole Turtle Bay and McConnell thing a function and a problem because that the government shouldn't be in the private sector doing this stuff? I mean, you go back to, you know, how much money has the city poured into the Turtle Bay? How much? I mean, we all want these kind of things to happen. We want commerce. We want motels. We want more jobs. Anybody who doesn't want that is an idiot. But at the cost of what when you do it this way? Do you have to collude for the benefit of certain parties that are involved, or you know, I mean, it just seems like the whole thing is out of whack with what the Constitution and our founders intended as far as the private sector.
Well, and I've said this the entire time, that this situation was between a labor organization and Turtle Bay, and it should have had nothing to do with the city, and we shouldn't have had risk one penny. We've got too many other responsibilities that we are required to do and that we owe the citizens of Reading. This has taken a tremendous amount of time, money, and effort unnecessarily. And this is why it was incumbent upon staff to focus in on the core responsibilities of government. And we failed to do so. And that's what I have tried to do these last 8 years, is focus in on what our responsibilities are and stay out of all of these other things. Clearly, this one would have been a good one to avoid.
Well, I got a question from the chat room. Let's have some John.
Cops, roads, firemen. Right. That's what cities are here for.
Yeah, anytime
they're
they get
not here to
in
invest
this other stuff.
In,
yeah, exactly.
In private enterprise.
Yeah, it all sounds good, but then you end up with this problem. And, you know, when will the I got a question from the chat room. When will the council restore the public comment period to the front of the bus?
Well, that's going to be up to the next council. I won't be there. Rick Bozzetti won't be there. That's going to be to the new one. And who knows what they'll do. Show up December 2nd. That's the next council meeting. Demand that. And demand that it actually go more than just 30 minutes at the beginning. Then you'll get real public comment. That's what we used to have. And the majority of this council changed it once again. So you just got to show up and demand that this is our city. That City Hall is owned by the people. And we'd like to take it back.
Well, tomorrow night, be at the Reading Tea Party. Gary Cadd and Patrick Jones will give a complete update on the Turtle Bay McConnell land boondoggle. And I guess we're out of time.
Yep, we're winding down once again.
We're down to nothing once again. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the Community.
Very clear. We are not going to shut the government down, but we are going to shut down this president and his actions as it pertains to granting amnesty to 5 million people.
Texas Congressman Michael McCaul on CBS TV's Face the Nation program. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas says the president doesn't have the constitutional power to do what he did. Afghanistan's parliament has finalized the deal today, which will keep some U.S. and NATO forces in the country beyond the end of the year to support Afghan forces. This is Afghan lawmaker Shakria Barkhazi.
I believe this is very important for the future of Afghanistan. If I want my kids and millions of other children live in prosperity, we need strong partnership between Afghanistan and U.S.
The U.S.